I call your attention this morning to the brunch bunch questions following the order of worship. We are fortunate that Junior McGarahan, our associate pastor for Christian formation and discipleship, writes these every week. And we provide them because in our Reformed tradition, we expect that each one of us will have a Bible in our hands, read it, and ask questions about it and discuss it together, particularly as relates to the sermon of Sunday morning. I call your attention to the second question, to describe a time when something you were struggling with, in fact, became a wrestling match with God. And that is what we speak to this morning. When those things that seem ordinary conflicts and struggling issues in our life become wrestling matches with God. Now listen to the Word of God from Genesis 32. The same night Jacob got up and he took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping up because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O now, gracious God, may you meet us in our struggles of life, for we wrestle with you, to know you in the person of Jesus Christ by the power of your Spirit. May your word now draw us in to who you are, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. John Calvin said of this famed struggle between Jacob and God, "All the servants of God in this world are wrestlers because the Lord exercises them with various kinds of conflicts. God is an antagonist who descends into our arena to try our strength." Jacob's very name means "the one who grabs the heel," remembering that Jacob wrestled with his brother even before he was born and wrestled outside as he was coming out of the womb. He contended with all members of his family. At this particular moment in his life, he is concerned because he is about to confront his brother Esau. And if you remember, he defrauded Esau of his birthright and his father's blessing, and Esau has sought to kill him. Jacob is struggling in fear of meeting his brother again. Will he take his life, or will God preserve him? His very combative nature ricocheted back on him in the sheep wars that he had with his father-in-law Laban, in the competition between his two wives, Leah and Rachel. Jacob cheated his brother, so Laban cheated him. As Laban defrauded Jacob, so Jacob fleeced Laban. And everything Jacob did, his ambition drove him to compete and win, to struggle constantly for more. It seemed never to be enough. And so at this moment, God meets him on his own terms. God meets him in the struggle, in the competition, in the moment to wrestle with the very man himself. Sometimes we parents wrestle with our children as well. One night after Jacob had sent all his family and wealth away, he had this encounter with God. Have you been in a place where you are all alone? You have seemingly lost all things. You have sent all things away from yourself. And you find yourself struggling with the very foundations of life. In fact, you find yourself wrestling with God. As Calvin so noted, Jacob is the patriarch of every man and woman who has recognized in the conflicts and the competitions of life, we are at the very core, at the very heart of it all, embattled with God for our lives. It seems that every human struggle is a potential prophetic sequel to the ancient and primal struggle that we go through with God. We even acknowledge the struggle in our church, where we have a Sunday school class by the name of Wrestlers. And what would Washington, D.C. be like without the ongoing struggle, the competition, and the debate? This is why we call this quadrennial struggle a presidential race. There will be a winner and there will be a loser. So what are you struggling with in your life? Where is God showing up in the midst of your conflict? Some of us struggle here with our very purpose and identity. Some of us are embattled over life's values and who will have the upper hand on those values. Some of us are in competition for the upper hand even in the church, even in this church. Some of us fight cancer. Others fend off depression. Teenagers struggle with independence. Parents have a hard time letting go. College grads compete for too few jobs. Baby boomers combat aging, and older adults fight for health. Nations struggle for land. Governments struggle for control. Leaders compete for votes. The oppressed cry out for justice. And the powerful maneuver to keep their power. Everywhere we turn, we see the conflict, the wrestling, and the struggle of humanity to make sense of all of it. Is it any wonder that this climactic event of the Jacobean strength resonates as a romantic symbol of the Herculean human task, struggling for life? God struggles with us, and we wrestle with God. The American poet Emily Dickinson is often seen as an artistic protagonist of the struggling Puritan refugee, trying to throw off the captivity of religious and social bigotry. Early in her life, Dickinson began to see herself standing alone in rebellion against the transcendent understanding of God. She hungered for God who would come close, be intimate. And so she identified closely with Jacob wrestling with God. And she wrote the poem, "A little east of Jordan, evangelists record, a gymnast and an angel did wrestle long and hard. Till morning touching mountain and Jacob waxing strong, the angel begged permission to breakfast, to return. Not so, said cunning Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me, stranger. To which acceded too, light swung the silver fleeces, Peniel hills beyond, and the bewildered gymnast found he had worsted God." She changes the perspective of the story a lot. She plays with the images and the facts. And in so, she herself is declaring that she is wrestling with the very God who created and gave us the text. Dickinson experienced her personal struggle in life as a calling of a kind of gymnastic poet who wrestles with God because she believed deep in her heart that God, in fact, had abandoned her to this earth. because she wrestled as a woman, a poet and an artist, venturing outside the pre-described box of theological acceptance. She was a woman struggling to find herself as fully human and gifted in a world where men were the ones who were to ascend and be rewarded. She would not go to church with her Puritan family, but would stay home, away from that tightly framed Amherst congregation. She wanted to look for God alone, determined to confront the full barrenness of her human fate. She would struggle with this conundrum all her life. Is God a preserver or a destroyer? Why did God set her up to be so gifted and so unable in this culture to use her gifts and be recognized for them? She felt that it was her troubled calling as a woman poet to coerce God's blessing for herself, even though there were no mechanisms to give it to her. She too, like Jacob, was born in the shadow of a blessed brother, in a world where women should not and dare not ascend to the heroic archetypes to wrestle with God for public expression and recognition. So she wrestled with God by herself and in her poetry and demanded through the cleverness of her critical poetic pen the blessing that seemingly belonged to others. Does it seem like at times that you are wrestling out there by yourself and there's nothing in the world system to support your struggle? You're alone. There is no one who can understand you or help you fight the fight. It was Dickinson who found the weapons of her fight in pen and poetry. She discovered the arrows and words and the bullets in the verses. She was the poetic gymnast who fought with God long and hard. And she hoped to become the bewildered gymnast of her poem who worsted God, maybe even fleeced God. Do you feel at times as though you were called to be some kind of religious acrobat? Somehow to have the right moves and to plan the right holds and to prepare the unexpected throws to be able to get your adversary on the mat. You find yourself in the midst of a cluster of exploding crises that are just too much. You are alone in the dark night out in the middle of nowhere, struggling to make sense of what seems to be an imminent doom. And maybe you're not even sure who the adversary is. It must have been shocking to Jacob to find out that the very adversary he wrestled with was God himself. Is it true that we have to somehow beat God in order to gain a blessing? We've got to somehow trick God to give us that which God really doesn't want to? But here in this text, who wins is very ambiguous. We know the struggle goes on. We know that it seems like Jacob prevails until dawn, but we also know that the angel has the last act in hurting Jacob at the very socket of his hip. Maybe it's a draw. As Calvin said, like Jacob, the Lord has created you to wrestle with God. God wants you to invest everything you have in that struggle. In the inquiry, the investigation, the confrontation, the complaint, to seek God and know God with all of your being and all of your heart, with everything you have. And God comes down to you to do battle. God does not expect you to climb up. The ultimate human objective is not the art of the struggle, but in fact, it is the knowledge of the Holy One in the midst of the struggle. To wrestle with God is to know God, even alone in a dark night. Dag Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the United Nations from 1953 to 1961, kept a personal journal he called Markings, Events in His Life. In 1950, at the age 45, he was the apex of his public service in Sweden. After writing his spiritual reflections for 25 years, he entered a very difficult time of personal darkness, a dark night of the soul that lasted for 3 years. On New Year's Day in 1950, he wrote in big letters in this journal, "Night approaches now." He followed these words about his extended time of suffering and wrestling with God with these statements: "In a whirling fire of annihilation, in the storm of destruction, the deadly cold of the active sacrifice, you would welcome death. But then it slowly grows within you day by day. You suffer anguish, anguish under the unspoken judgment which hangs over your life while leaves fall in a fool's paradise." And then the following New Year's, he wrote again, "Night approaches now." And again, the following New Year's, he wrote, "Night approaches now. How long the road is." But then on New Year's 1953, just 3 months before he was elected to Secretary General of the United Nations, there is a different mood in his writing. "For all it has been thanks, to all that shall be, yes. In 3 years of darkness, somehow he had secured the blessing of God." And what was that blessing? What was the core of the struggle? What was he looking for? And he goes on to say this: "I don't know who or what put the question to me. I don't know when it was put. I don't even remember answering. But at some moment I did answer yes to someone or something. And from that hour I was certain that existence was meaningful, and therefore my life and self-surrender had a goal. I came to a place in time when I realized the way leads to triumph, which is catastrophe, and catastrophe, which is triumph. That the price for committing one's life would be reproach, and the only elevation possible lies in the depth of humiliation." But then he goes on to say, and this is the heart of it, in his discovery in the middle of the struggle, "As I continued along that hard way, I learned step by step, word by word, and behind every saying in the Gospels stands one man. And one man's experience. And also behind the prayer that the cup might pass from him as his promise to drink it. Also behind each of the words from the cross, he discovered Jesus the Christ in the midst of the struggle of life. And Jesus answered the depth issues of his life, even his concern about dying young. And with that motivation, he went in to serve the world, to be a mediator between nations and a reconciler between governments. He experienced in the struggle the face of God, and Jacob called that place Peniel, the face of God. As Jacob says, I have seen God face to face. Hammarskjöld said, I have seen the face of Jesus. Yes, there are wounds that come out of those moments of struggle. Jacob walked out of that wrestling match with a limp. We do not escape these hard conversations and encounters with God without some scars and maybe even some nightmares. But the key of what happens in those engagements is simply that we meet God face to face. Why the struggle? Because that is the best place for us to wrestle with God. And frankly, if it wasn't for the human struggle, we might ignore God completely. The struggle leads to intimacy with God, not abandonment by God. God will have the last word. And as Hammarskjöld discovered, that last word is about Jesus, whom he met face to face, who accomplished the struggle between humanity and God on the cross. It was his experience of Jesus suffering and giving his life that gave him permission to see a life of sacrifice and potentially giving his own life. Jesus Christ met him in the middle of the struggle. Why are you going through difficult engagements and struggles and wrestlings? Because God wants to meet you there in the midst of the pain of that. And when you discover who is there with you, that Jesus has already paid the price and suffered on the cross, you know that you'll be able to make it through because he has already made it through. And so we remember Jacob, the wrestling with God, and we know now the invitation to meet God face to face. And so we meet Jesus, the Christ, and we listen to his voice, and we have him come beside us, and he wrestles with life along with us. It is in the name of the God who loves us, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has poured out grace upon us to be with us, and the community of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to live in the midst of the struggle, that we give ourselves today to follow Jesus Christ, to meet God face to face. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, may you become real. May you be seen as alive in full power before us, even in the midst of our darkest places. May you show us what it means to wrestle even with God and discover that God has blessed us in Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.